right. I'm learning. That's what we're here for today, to learn. One slide I want to back up here. I know we read it last night. And I want to say thank you for everyone that's come out today on a Shabbat morning. I mean, there's no place where I'd rather be, according to the Torah, than be here. You know, this is what we're commanded to do. We're all saying, you know, I ain't gonna trick y'all like my brother last week. Get y'all to put y'all life jacket and say a vow. We should came here with our life jackets on already this morning. But we sang it this morning. That there's nothing better than him. So we all made the vow this morning. So, and do we really mean that? Because this journey that we're on, it's really challenging. It's going to challenge you to come out on a Friday night. Nobody wants to come out on a Friday night. And to come out on a Saturday morning, you say, this is my, me and my wife told my wife this morning, I could have really slept in this morning. So used to working only nights and just wanted first time being off in a little while. Look, I wanted to, that flesh wants to rise up. We have to be overcomers. And how do you do that? It's the word. All right, so we're going to start off with slide, I think it's 50. It's one I want to go over this morning because, like I said, sometimes you got to wait on y'all. The word just don't come to you because I've been practicing since we got it. I got this message last week. Now, my brother already sent me the slides, me and Brother Chad, already this morning for next week. So, you know what, today, tonight, this evening, you know, we got a little family, but at some point in time, I got to find just a little spot, no matter if I get two or three slides. Should be getting something because Shabbat doesn't end when the service ends. You still have the rest of the evening. But at some point in time, you know, just, I know we got stuff to do. Just take a moment. I'm going to have it 5 minutes, 10 minutes to meet him here. Just, you know what I'm saying? Okay. These, slide 50. These were some of the words that Shaul spoke. Oh, let me just back up this tomorrow. Torah 45, by Echanan, it means then I pleaded. And we see that Moses, we know last night Moses pleaded, to do what? To go into the promised land. I mean, and all of us, our goal here today is to get to the promised land. You know, it's my job as a husband to make sure my wife gets there. It's her job as a wife to make sure her husband gets there. And you, it's your job as a mom to get your children there and your grandchildren. So we all don't think we don't have a job. Just because I'm the speaker here today, it's my responsibility and it's also yours. And that's found in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 3:23-7:11. So it's a little bit of reading, but look, you take time. You got all week. Take a little time every day. And the Haftorah, which we should be all reading that at home because Wednesday's coming. So whoever the speaker's going to be, hey, you should be already at least versed in it. You know, already just kind of pre-warm up. You know, you get some grits. Some of y'all might like cooked grits. I like instant grits. But some of y'all like cooked grits. So cooked grits take a little time. But sometimes you got to have it instant. So we need instant words that time. And that's under Isaiah 40:1-26. Oh. Okay, we're going to move on. These were some of the words that Shaul spoke to the elders of Ephesus. And I do try to practice these. So if it sounds a little funny, it's just how it is. You know, with the Hebrew. So, that he had called to meet at Malthus on the way back to Jerusalem. And his farewell speech, that means he's gone, we ain't going to see you no more. So after that, this could be my farewell speech. So I hope we're paying close attention and got pen and paper ready. Because remember last week, Pastor, take notes, he said last Friday night. So, that he made it clear that his life all about his service unto the master, and no matter what he would face, he would bear the witness of the good news. Despite knowing that chains and pressures awaited him, all of us too, we have chains and pressure. These are the words of an overcomer. That's how we grow. And words of one who had counted the cost of following the master and did not let the fleshlessness or of selfishness hinder his goal and purpose of being the witness of Messiah. Proper counting causes one to be an overcomer in Messiah. And I just want to stress that a little bit, because I thought about this last night and this morning. I'm thinking, and you know, when you hear Yahweh speaking, and sometimes I wonder, as a follower, you know, let me just pick on my father-in-law a little bit this morning. He's about to be 77, so he's been X amount of years he's been following. But do we take time out of all his years, and my years that I'm in, or any one of us, do we take time to count the cost? Or what it cost us to be on this journey? I remember when we started this with Pastor, you know, we had a lot of people. And then a lot of them just bailed out because we didn't take the time to count the cost. And it's a very costly price. It's very costly. And the price is, it's your life. When you sign up to the Torah, to following the master, it's like signing your life away. And even when you sign, you know, you still have that option where you want to obey or not. But the Torah, like I said last night, it's demanding in some areas. It's going to tell you, you need to do this. If not, it's your life. And we'll read about further that later on. So is it serious? It's very serious. It's so serious that we know Yeshua lost his life. He paid for it with his life. What do you think the price is going to be for us? It's not a gimmick. You can say, well, I don't know about all that. Then ask yourself, why are you here? Because if it's not going to cost you anything, you think it's just a free pass, but this is not the message for you today. But in Luke, and we're going to get back to the slide, I promise. But this is I want to see what did Yeshua say about this? Luke 14, 28 through 33. For who of you, wishing to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? There we go. That's what Shaul was saying. Which one of you? Me, everyone that's here, you can look around. You have to count the cost. But it's going to cost you something. This walk, this journey will cost us. Otherwise, verse 29, otherwise when he has laid the foundation and is unable to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him. They'll mock you. We don't count the cost. Because you see many times, some that were here, they're not here. And what they do, it's a mockery. So we have to hold on. All that's within. You see, when you haven't done all to stand. No matter. Stand. Saying, this man began to build and was unable to finish. That's four. Stuff you get when you wait. Oh, what sovereign going to fight against another sovereign does not sit down first and take counsel whether he's able with 10,000 men to meet who comes against him with 20,000? You're up against, you're in a fight. That seems impossible. 2-1. You are 2-1 in this journey. Said it never sat well with me either. You just want to peek when you wait. He'll teach you. We have to be open. This is not easy. You know, like I said, when you put your life jacket on, buckle it. Because at any moment, you fall out the boat again. It can happen. You fall out about to be 77 years old. That's a good age. It's a good number. You know, at any time, you can still fall out the boat. Be prepared. Especially what's to come, because we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about next week. So we need to be ready. And if not, will the other, while the other is still far away, sends out a delegation and asks condition of peace. So then, every one of you who does not give up all that he has is unable to be my taught one. That's a strong word. To be his taught one. You know, when you hear these things, you know, I hear these things sometimes when I'm just, especially in your quiet time, this is when it comes to you. Not when you want it. Not when you have, because we want it when we want it. It's like the commercial. It's your money, you want it now. But this is not the commercial. It's not a commercial message this morning. This is y'all saying, look, you wait. We sing that song, you wait on them. And when you wait, hey, it's going to be impatient. Like I said, they've been hearing Yeshua's coming back. Almost 77 years. You got to wait, endure. Endurance is the key. So, that's just a warm-up. But I hope it blesses you, because it spoke to me. You know, that we have to count the cost. Every day, it costs. Look, you know, your children. Look at your children, your grandchildren. It's the cost. So it's up to us. If we fail, what do you think is going to happen to them? Like I said last night, our forefathers, they inherited the lies. So what are we doing here this morning, last night? We're here to unwrap the lies that have been handed down from generation to generation. And look, it's not pretty. When you unwrap a bandage, I remember that time I broke my leg, when I took that cast off, man, his leg looks funny, it's ugly. That's a healing process. It takes a little time. Scars, you're going to have a scar, it's going to be there to remind you. But that's the learning process. That's the part of being an overcomer. But we have to be one of, if we're going to be one of his taught ones, this is the process you're going to go through. Amen? Still with me? All right. The word echo, Strong's G2192, is also used of those joined to anyone by the bonds of natural blood or marriage or friendship or duty or law, etc., and can express the intensity of holding fast to or clinging to something, and is translated as possess or in. Here's Yochanan, 14:21. I love Yochanan. He who possesses my commands and guards them is he who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and manifest myself to him. What comforting words. We have to love him. He said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. All women, not just the men. It says that it's everyone. Well, when we understand this, it makes perfect sense that Yeshua is clearly saying, which is that to possess, he commands. His commands mean that we are to hold them fast. That is, that we are to guard them. Look, one of y'all write down how many times I say the word guard. We're fixing to read chapter 4. So just put a mark. We're going to see how many times the word guard comes up. How he's going to stress that. To guard what? His word. Because when all else fails, when your job fails, man, no, we need our job. When the fish quit biting. When it seems like you're having just a bad week and nothing is going well, you can always fall back on his word, because he does not lie. His word is there. You can trust in his word. You can believe in his word. He won't fail you. He said, I'll never leave you, no forsake you. When all else fails, you can count on him. One cannot be guarding the commands. One is not doing them. So it's more than just the hearing, more than just the Shema and say, well, I hear. We have to guard. There's three things I mentioned: hear, guard, and do. You have to be doing. It comes in a process. You don't bake a cake without putting eggs in it. I mean, Maybe you do. Some of y'all might. But I mean, it calls for milk, calls for eggs, calls for butter. My wife said, because everything is better with butter. There you go. You got to have them ingredients. Chapter 4. And now, Yisrael, listen. This is a very urgent call to hear, and in one aspect, it could be rendered as, this time, listen up, Yisrael. Listen up, fake temple. Because you are Yisrael. You might not be blood born, but you are Yisrael. You are grafted in, according to the word. And now, O Yisrael, listen to the laws, Deuteronomy, Devarim, 4:1. And now, O Yisrael, listen to the laws and the right rulings which I am teaching you to do, so that you live. And we all want that. We all want that life. And you shall go in and possess the land which Yahweh Elohim of your fathers is giving you. Do not add to the word which I command you, and do not take away from it, so as to guard the commands of Yahweh, your Elohim, which I am commanding you. There's already a couple guards already. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did at Baal Peor, for Yahweh, your Elohim, has destroyed from your midst all the men who followed Baal Peor. We just read that a couple of Torahs ago. 24,000 men. And they just, what? Not guarding. Ain't like Yahweh slack on his part. This is what happens when you, like me and Brother Chad, stay in your lane, bro. This is what happens when you get outside the lane just for a moment. That's all he needs, just a moment to get outside the lane. And this is what happened. 24,000. And that was just, that's not counting the ones that were hung. And then later on, the earth opened up and swallowed them. Many lost their lives. This one incident was a great incident. It says, verse 4, but you are clinging to Yahweh, your Elohim, are alive today. Just a new crop. Every one of you. See, I have taught you laws and right ruling as Yahweh, my Elohim, commanded me to do thus in the land which you go to possess. We got land promised. Years ago, I didn't know that. But I know that now. Man, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to be there. The scripture says when he comes back, he's going to teach the Torah from Zion. How awesome that's going to be. I've never been to Jerusalem, but I can't wait. And you shall guard to do them. Verse 6. And this is your wisdom and your understanding before the eyes of the people who hear all these laws. And they shall say, only a wise and understanding people is this great nation. Amen. For what great nation is there which has Elohim so near to it, as Yahweh our Elohim is to us, whenever we call on him? There we go. You want to get some wisdom, understanding? Call on him. He said, what a great people you are. You're doing what I asked you to do. You're guarding my laws. It's going to be tough sometimes. It's okay. Like I said, my phone, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And what great nation is there that has such laws and righteous right rulings like all this Torah which I set before you this day? This is what he's calling you, a great nation. Why? Because you're guarding his laws. You're guarding his word. That's our job as parents, as brothers, as moms and dads. This is our job. Why? Because we got, talking about this new crop that's coming up. This is what we're going to see when we get to Joshua. He's commissioned Joshua. Why? Because I'm about to die, Joshua. I ain't going to cross. There's the next generation coming. Look at him. So it's our job. Verse 9. Only guard yourself and guard your life diligently. That means every day, throughout the day. You know, at night, that's where faith comes in. Because at night, my wife can tell you, when I'm sleeping, I'm sleeping. I don't know who's guarding who. But I put my trust in he's guarding me. That whatever happens, I'm okay with. So only guard yourself and guard your life diligently, lest you forget the words. Don't forget these words. Don't forget. Your eyes have seen, and lest they turn aside from your heart in all the days of your life, and you shall make them known to your children and grandchildren. We have responsibility. Think you don't, but you do. Even if they're not yours, they're your responsibility. You know, when I see these little children come up in, I think of them as mine. I know they're not in reality, but you know what? Our job here as parents is to treat them like they are yours. But we can't forget the words that we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, or we hear with our ears. Why? We can't, because it's to make known to your children and grandchildren, so we don't turn aside, so you don't lead them astray. What it says, what happens when you lead them astray is better than a millstone tied around your neck and toss you into the sea. It's better for you that way. The day, verse 10, the day when you stood before Yahweh, your Elohim, in Horeb, the day when you stood before Yahweh, your Elohim, in Horeb, Yahweh said to me, assemble the people to me, and I make them hear my words so that they learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and teach them to their children. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the heart of the heavens, darkness cloud and thick darkness. And I like how Pastor Isaac put this part. Excuse me. He says, why darkness? Because Yah is only light. How is darkness? Well, that's his mercy, because he has to wrap that darkness, because with the light, if he exposed, he would have consumed them all. So it was a way of concealing himself, just for, not to destroy everything. Because it says in Revelation, the heaven, the mountains flee at his presence. We see when he shows up, things happen. So that's why you get that cloud and thick darkness. Not because he's darkness like he's a bad guy. And that's what the meaning today is. But this is a different type of darkness that we're talking about. It's for your protection. Mercy. And Yahweh spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard a voice of words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. And he commanded you his covenant, which he commanded you to do, the 10 words, and he wrote them on 2 tables of stone. We just had a hard time over the years just to manage these 10. And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you laws and write rulings for you to do them in the land which you pass over to possess. Therefore, diligently guard yourselves. For you saw no form when Yahweh spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest you should do corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the heavens, the likeness of any creature that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the waters under the earth. Think he's covering his bases? Because they know what happened, just slaughtered a bunch of them. Because what they did, they made a molten calf. That's why he's laying down to the new crop, the new generation. Don't do what your forefathers done. Say, look, we got to stick to this way. Don't make no carved images. We had an image. He came. His name was Yeshua. That was your image. He said, show us the Father. He said, Philip, have I not been long enough with you? Have you seen me? You seen the Father? You seen his character. You seen what he is. This is what he's like. When you see me, you see him. At least you lift up your eyes to the heavens and shall see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of the heavens, and you'll be drawn away into bowing down to them. You say they do that? They did that? They're still doing it. This ain't nothing that's new. They're still doing it. Bowing down to them and serving them, which Yahweh your Elohim has allotted to all the peoples under all the heavens. That means everybody. Everybody that was there at that time. But everybody that's here today. But Yahweh has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace. Well, that's comforting word. He took you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, out of what we come from. He took you out of that. I mean, I watched that. It was a movie one time, and it was you can pull this stuff up. This was one of the torturing material that he used. He put these ladies in this iron furnace, and it roasted them alive. And this was just on a movie. This happened in real life because you look up that stuff. It was in an iron bowl, and they set a fire underneath it, and they put these masks over their mouth. That way, when they're screaming, it sounds like a bull is just making noise. This was a torturing equipment. It's real. Think Hollywood, they ain't playing. They got it down pat. They know where they get the information from. You say that sounds like a fairy or just a scary story or something. That's real. They did that. So he's taking us out of that iron furnace. So they bound him in there. And when you bound and you can't do nothing but try to scream, that was the torturing material. Out of Mitzrayim, to be his people and inheritance as it is yesterday. Today. Watch if you're paying attention, that's all. Today. We need this stuff today. Not tomorrow. We can't wait for this word tomorrow. Tomorrow, give us this day our daily bread. I need word for tomorrow. We need, how about we say that? I'm that beggar. I ate that bread yesterday. I need bread today. You say, what you did with the bread I gave you yesterday? I ate that. You need bread today. And tomorrow, I'll let you know. While I'm here today, I'll be back tomorrow. You might as well just let them know. You'll be back tomorrow. That's all right. How about I got plenty? He fed them every day. Every day manna. Until they cried for meat. We know what happened with the meat. Verse 21. And Yahweh was enraged with me because of your words. Because of the complaining, the murmuring. That's the words he's talking about. Because, hey, we get there. We're human. We're human. And sometimes we do complain. We're not going to kid ourselves. I complain. And swore that I would not pass over, but because of his sin, even though he was given the word, he said, speak the rock. But because of his sin, he said, hey, it happened. That's forgiveness. Doesn't mean he ain't going to make the kingdom. He was just letting you know, you're just not going to cross over. And that's the end of that. And that I would not enter the good land, he called it a good land, which Yahweh your Elohim is giving you as an inheritance. You might have land in Israel that you don't even know about. Huh? For I am to die in this land. I am not passing over the Jordan, but you are passing over and shall possess that good land. Guard yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh your Elohim, which he made with you, and shall make for yourself a carved image in any form, as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. He's just letting you know that idols are everywhere. It can become your idol. You even got it on TV, American Idol. So it's all around. It just might be in different form, different color, different shape. It can be an idol. You can get caught up in stuff, especially today, especially our young children. But I tell our young children, me too, because we got these little devices here. It can be used for good. But if we're not careful, there's a lot of junk in there. Like I said, I was looking at the Baal P.O. worship. That bad boy, it's weird. It gets weird, it gets deep, and it'd be shocking. You know what? When you get to the point where you get down far enough, it's time to come back out. At least not you get consumed by it. For Yahweh, your Elohim, is a consuming fire, a jealous El. And not the boyfriend, girlfriend jealous. He just letting you know he's jealous because he don't want you to be found on these idols. Worship me. When you bring forth children and grandchildren and shall grow old in the land and shall do corruptly and make a carved image in the form of whatever and shall do what is evil in the eyes of Yahweh your Elohim to provoke him. Do what? Provoke him. This is what happens. I shall call the heaven and the earth to witness against you. Two witnesses. Remember, one witness can't punish you. You gotta have two. On that day, and you shall soon completely perish from the land which you pass over the Jordan to possess. Perish. Now we can look at that word perish. And it's, like I said, just a six-letter word. And I wrote down, expire, decease, used up, be finished, be lost, to suffer spiritual death. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we always use that. But they are perfect examples because scientists today, they know about where it was at. They got a lot of evidence they know about, but they can't 100% say that's where it is. Because you know why? They perish. When Yahweh destroys something, on completely. You might see some heaven residue, and we can only guess. But it's just, there's nothing. There's nothing left. So, perish from the land. Oh, I don't know how else to describe it. You just cease to exist, won't even be known. You do not prolong your days in it, but are completely destroyed. That's serious. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where Yahweh drives you. And there you shall serve mighty ones, the work of man's hand, wood and stone which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Say, that's kind of harsh. That's cause and effect for our actions. These are the things that happen when we just want to get outside the lane. I said, stay in your lane, bro. You just get outside the lane. Just want to pass close. But from there, you shall seek Yahweh, your Elohim. He's going to, even though in your distress, even though when it seems like, man, why has Yahweh, he's going to, in that spot, he's going to give you another opportunity. Mercy is going to still extend. Shall seek Yahweh and shall find when you search for him with all your heart and with all your being. In your distress, when all these words shall come upon you in the latter days, then you shall return to Yahweh your Elohim and shall obey his voice. Hallelujah. For Yahweh your Elohim is a compassionate El. Something that my wife said I need a little more of, that compassion. So I'm working on it. He does not forsake you, nor destroy you. What? You just said, I'm going to perish. Yes, you'll perish if you're not obeying, if you're not guarding, if you're not doing. That's what he's talking about. What he says right here, he doesn't destroy you. We do it to ourselves. Nor forget the covenant your fathers, which he swore to them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you. Since the day that Elohim created man on the earth, and as from one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens, where there has been such a word as great as this. This is a great word. Or has been heard like it. Has a people heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live? Why? Because he wrapped himself in that darkness to hold back, so you're not, we were not consumed. At any point in time in our lives today, I know we weren't at the foot of the mountain, but at any time today, we can be consumed. But if we're walking, guarding, and doing, you see that loving hand. Or has Elohim tried to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of a nation by trials, and by signs, and by wonders, and by battle, and by a strong hand, and an outstretched arm, and by great fearsome deeds, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Mizraim before your eyes? You have been shown it, to know that Yahweh himself is Elohim, and there is no one else beside him. He did it by himself. Even though they were in bondage all these years, all these gods were etched on the doorpost, on that blood of the lamb right upon that doorpost. Now, Pastor said, not this house. Maybe next door. Maybe the other neighborhood, but not this house. He did that. From the heavens, he let you hear his voice to instruct you. And on the earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought you out of Mizraim with his presence, with his great power, to drive out from before you nations greater and stronger than you, to bring you, to give you the land as an inheritance, as it is today. He did this because he loved you. Not because you were a great and powerful nation or something. He said you were the least. But your heart was right. That's why I chose you. That's why you're here today. And you shall know today and shall recall to your heart that Yahweh himself is Elohim. In the heavens above and on the earth beneath, there is none else. And you shall guard his laws and his commands, which I command you today, so that it is well with you and with your children after you, so that you prolong your days on the soil which Yahweh your Elohim is giving you for all time. And Moshe separated three cities beyond the Jordan toward the rising of the sun for a manslayer to flee there. He who unknowingly murdered his brother without having hated him in times past, and might flee to one of these cities and live. Bezer in the wilderness in the level land for the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manasseh. And this is the Torah which Moshe set before the children of Israel. These are the witnesses and the laws and the right ruling which Moshe spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Mizraim, beyond the Jordan, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, sovereign of the Amorites, who dwell at Heshbon, whom Moshe and the children of Israel had stricken after they came out of Mizraim. That's these two kings I talked about last night. 60, I think the scripture says six, over 60 cities they conquered just from these two kings. And they took possession of his land and the land of Og, sovereign of Bashan, two sovereigns of the Amorites, who were beyond the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from Ari, which is on the bank of the Wadi Arnon, even to Mount Sion, which is Hermon, and all the desert plain beyond the Jordan, as far as the Sea of Arba, below the slope of Pisgah. And it's, when you look on the map, It's a pretty big piece of property.
Very big, a lot of land. Dad, he said, look, this is yours.
He ain't going to give it up. It might look like they're winning, and it might look like only a little Jerusalem left. I can promise you, it's still his. You know, we laugh and we joke, you know, at the house over there. And, my father always, they gave my wife her birthright. I said, well, we still know who owns the property. So this is what Yahweh is saying. They might be occupying right now, but he still owns the property. Hey, Pop. Hallelujah. Yisrael had hardened their hearts all too often, and now it was time to open up their ears and listen. What? Open up their ears and listen. The time for fooling around and doing their own thing was over. It was time to pay attention. This is also a clear call that is very much alive for us today. For now, it is certainly time for all Yisrael to Shema. Listen.
Right.
Time to quit fooling around. We did all that foolishness. Your forefathers did all this foolishness. You did that back then. Let me tell y'all, you got to put this foolishness around because we're about to cross over. Can't have that no more. The Hebrew word that's translated and now is va'ata, which comes from the root word ata, strong 6258, which means now, at this time. If you haven't started, start today. If you haven't peeked into the next half Torah coming up, start today. At this time. Along with the conjunction of the letter wa, which renders it as and now, so now, or but now, placing the clear emphasis of a call to attentively hear now, along with the resulting action of listening as we should. How many times was that guard? Anybody mark it now? 7 times. He warned us, kindly repeat, oh, guard it, guard it, guard it. When? Now. This call to hear and respond correctly was not a suggestion or something that could be left until another time, but rather it was intended to get the immediate action required. Now. See what I mean? That's time whether the Torah is demanding. You say, well, that's not what it means to me, but that is so funny. So many people put off the required obedience to the word of Elohim, as they would rather be seeking to satisfy their own desires or fleshly needs and disregard the urgent call to seek Yahweh with their all now. That's true. That is so true. We get caught up in everyday affairs, everyday lives. We have work. We have fishing. Whatever your occupation is. You have to have that set apart time. When does it start? Now. Don't let your life jacket up and buckle. A repeated concept or phrase we see in Scripture is he who has an ear, let him hear, which simply calls for ardent hearers to pay attention to and obey what is being commanded. Many turn their ear away from the proper hearing of the Torah, and as a result are identified as being those who are hearing, as those who are hearing but do not understand. And if you don't, when you don't understand, you ask. This is where one another, this is where we help one another. Ask. Or a trustworthy servant of Elohim, we are called to hear, guard, and do all that his word teaches and commands. And we take note that a proper understanding of his word develops as regard to do what we hear.
That the guard will be here.
That's what faith is. Faith is believing in something that you don't see.
I wasn't there. I didn't see Yeshua. I wasn't on the Mount of Transfiguration, but I'm here today.
But I have to take him at his word. Because what he told Peter, blessed are the ones who have heard but not seen.
We hadn't seen it, but we believe it by faith. That's
what we have to hold. That's what you have to guard, the word. Till how long? Till your time expires. That's how long you guard it.
And you don't turn it loose.
You don't give up your life jacket. Or a while back, this has been a great while back, do not pull up your anchor. Because if you pull your anchor, you will drift. And once you start drifting, let me tell you, I ran out of gas a couple of years ago in the river when the river was high river. I had me and the boss man, another guy on the boat. And let me tell you, we started drifting. We was right here by Fort Jackson, right where you can go and look out over the river. And by the time another boat come and got me, I was all the way in the curve. And you had a ship was coming up. You talk about scared. So you don't want to drift. Do not pull your anchor no matter what. If your husband fails, you keep going. If your wife fails, you keep going. Because it's your responsibility. No matter what, you do not give up your position. Position is everything. Those who are hearing and not understanding are those who are not doing what is required. And therefore, they are not hearing the now aspect of urgency to hear, guard, and do. The Hebrew word that is translated as listen comes from the root word shema. We hear that every Shabbat. Shema. Strong H8085, which does not just simply carry the meaning to hear, but rather it means to listen with attention, comprehend and discern, give heed to what is being spoken. So when we hear the words, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, we are able to clearly see that it is only those who are truly standing on their feet, that is, those who are faithfully obeying and walking in the commands, that will have ears to hear. So, more than just saying, I'm a believer. Because the demons believe. Satan believes. But is he following? Is he walking? Is he guarding?
I don't think so.
So, you can see there's more than just hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. But the word of Elohim, we have to walk in that faith. We have to use it. Because we are going to need it. Any disobedience to the commands, here we go, or any rejection to walking according to the Torah of Elohim will result in one being deaf to the Spirit. We don't want that. And so being unable to be led forth in the truth. Those who have ears, as they stand firm on their feet, will hear the clear instruction and will guard to do them. Who is it that is to be listening?
Israel. Us. Israel. You are grafted in. I might not know what tribe you're from. We can always speculate. You know, we say my mother-in-law comes from Asher because she loves sweets.
So, but hey. But we are grafted in somewhere.
That's just what it is.
Cornelius, Peter went to Cornelius' house. He was grafted in.
He was a Gentile. So, Israel, here we go.
These words are very simple to the words we find in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 44:1. But now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Hallelujah. You're chosen. And I'm so glad he chose me. He chose you. And we're here to testify about today. What are we to be listening to? The Hebrew word that is translated as laws is hakurim, which is the plural of the root word Strong's H2706, which means something prescribed or owed, boundary, allotment, portion, ordinance, statute.
Number one, that was laws.
The word comes from the primitive root hazak, Strong's H210, which means to cut, inscribe, hack, engrave, decree, card, scepter, lawgiver. And in essence, we get the clear understanding of hakurim as being laws cut in stone, which means that they are set and fixed. That simply means they're not going to change for me. They're not going to change for you. They ain't going to change for my mama. They're not going to change for your mama, your daddy, my daddy, your grandma, my grandma, whoever family member you want to. They're not going to change. The law is the law.
Is that right, Bob? That's what I'm talking about.
If it's 55, then it's 55. Hey, don't kill the messenger. That means it is fixed.
And it's just,
there's nothing we can say or do about it. The answer was no to Moshe. And if anybody, Isaiah, a lot of you had right, would be Moshe. Come on, y'all, just one little, I'm sorry. But what was the answer? No, you ain't crossing.
So,
number two, right rulings. The Hebrew word that is translated as right rulings is mishpatim, which is the plural of the root word mishpat, Strong's H4941, which means right ruling or judgment. And these are the legal procedures or firm rulings that are non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Let me say that one more time. Non-negotiable. They had a movie called The Terminator. You know what they said in there? You can't be reasoned with. You can't be bargained with. You can't bribe him. He's there for one purpose, and that was to terminate. But we're not here to talk about him. We're talking about the laws here. They're non-negotiable. It is through these mishpatim that the community of Elohim is to be ruled and gives clear boundaries on how any issue that may arise would be dealt with in a prescribed way that is just and fair. There's times, because it was saying there, there's times we're going to be in situations. Don't just, because it comes to your mouth, don't just blot it out. There's a way of handling as believers, as Torah keepers, as followers of Yeshua. Hold on to your tzitzit before you say it. Amen. Hey, look, I might be looking at you, but look, I'm feeling that pressure that Moshe put on Joshua. I want you to feel that. Put two hands on the shoulder. Put it away. What you're about to do here, you're about to lead a nation into a good land. I want to go to that good land. And I want to see y'all in the good land. These are what we could call the social laws, which clearly teaches us how we are to get on with each other, and how we are to behave, and how we are to live according to how we have been created to be in Yahweh. We were created for a special purpose. Not to be out running wild when we did in the way back when. Now that you come to know, there's a certain order that we have to walk in. There's a certain law that we're going to have to follow. Does it get a little tight? Do you want to kind of just, like my brother, you just want to peek at it? Yes. Yeah. It's demanding. We can be, like I said, hard-headed. Tehillah, Psalms 89:14, righteousness and right rulings are the foundation of your throne. Kindness and truth go before your face. Tehillah, Psalms 97:2, clouds and darkness all around him. Righteousness and right ruling are the foundation of his throne. Listening in the Hebrew mindset implies obedience, and so as we listen to the laws and right rulings of Elohim, we are to obey them. As we hear, guard, and do all He's commanded us. That's, you see, pretty simple. Hear, guard, and do. Are you going to be challenged? Are you going to be faced? Yes. Yes. That, it ain't going to be perfect. It ain't going to be easy. You're going to have some rough days, rough weeks. You're going to go through rough times. It's to build your character. It's not to hurt you. He said, I know the plans I have for you. It's not to hurt you. He wants you to do good. But this is the requirement for doing all this. I want to bless you. I want to give you this good land. But this is what you have to do. Our butts don't matter. His butt does. Moshe tells us to listen to the laws and right rulings that he is teaching us to do so that we live and possess that which he had promised. And he's never went back on that promise. We can bank on that. The Hebrew word that is translated as teaching is lamad, Strong's H3925, which means to exercise in, learn, accept, instruct, train. We need these all. That's a good one. It is the laws and right rules of Moshe that we are to exercise in and learn, accept, and become fluent in. As we diligently train ourselves to be true, set-apart people of Elohim, we do not learn for nothing. We learn and are taught to do. This is what the Torah is doing. It's building our character. It's teaching us how to be men, teaching ladies how to be ladies, and it's teaching us as a family for one another. It's grooming us. You know, it teaches us to be just the. When I first started this, when they first asked me to speak, oh, we'd have been finished already. Y'all would have loved me. We'd have been out of here. But now we're getting the time in. We're getting a little longer. Messages are kind of improving. And you can see the maturity in people. So this is what the Torah does. There we go. The Hebrew word, I'm learning, that is translated as to do comes from the root word asah. Strong's H6213, which means to do, work, make, produce, to act with effect, to observe, to bring about, institute, and can also have the meaning celebrate, which I think is very fitting. This word is often translated as works and is a clear reference to what one physically and practically does. It is truly a great job to do the laws and right rulings as prescribed, and more specifically in terms of the feast of Yahweh, it is a joy for us to perform them as we are instructed to do. And I tell you, I love the feast days. You know, that was a time, like I said, that we didn't love them because it seemed like it was bonded. Really? I love it. And like I said, Yom Teruah is coming up. We come to that fall feast. The Sukkahs. That's probably one of my favorite ones because I love going doing the Sukkahs. Because that's where you can, when you're out there, you're spending your time. Put that Sukkah up and just go spend, no matter if it's 5 minutes. Get your coffee, relax in the Sukkah. I know my mother-in-law, she enjoys her Sukkah. You know, it's so much, we had to put it on her porch last year. And you know what? We're probably putting another one again this year. But look, it's just a joyous time. It's a time for what? Celebrate. This is where this comes in at. It's gonna work. You're gonna have to act. You're gonna put action into it. But it's the reward after when you just sit there and relax because it's so peaceful. Even Bebe loves it. Bebe is a family member also. And we're instructed to do that. We're instructed. And then the travesty of so many people, you know, outside these four walls, that they're like, man, that's fine. But they watching. They watching when all this bread comes up. and they're watching when these suckers come up. They know. They know. Trust me. They ask. They might not want to join, but they're watching. But they're watching what? If you don't count the cost, make sure that you keep doing it. What they do, it becomes a mockery. Remember, hey, enjoy it, because it's celebrating time. I tell you, when I walk in here and I see all the, for the little kids during the little mini camp, I told Sister, I come in here and I look at all these decorating these ladies put up here, and let me tell you, it made me wish I was right here coming up. But man, they took this to a whole nother level compared to when I was going on Grand Bayou. I mean, it was fun back in my time because that's what we had. But man, now it's like this has exploded. Boy, this is, ugh. A derivative of this root word, asa, Strong's 6213, is the word masa, Strong's H4639, which means a deed, work, or acts, accomplishment. The book of Acts is known in the Hebrew as Masai, which is a record of the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles speak of the deeds or acts of that which the Apostles did and record their acts of obedience, from which they were able to learn many great and valuable lessons from. So, you want to learn something? Read Acts. Go read what was laid down for you. Acts is a very, look, it starts off with Peter, and it goes right into Paul. And it goes on and on. And I tell you, look, go follow Paul, because you see Paul's life, his journey, just what we get. And that's some stuff you can go look at, but I mean, he went a long journey. He did a lot of sowing, a lot of reaping. And that was that cause and effect? Because, right, it was, because before he became known as Shaul, when he was Paul, we would all be in trouble here today if he walked in that time. But when Yahweh got a hold of him, life changed. But that was still cause and effect for his action. He had to pay. He paid with his life. But he said, you know what? I count my life nothing. That was nothing for the reward that I got coming. We shall be known. Skip one. Okay, no. We shall be known by our fruits based on our proper reverence and submission to our master, which shall be evidence in our acts of obedience as we walk in righteousness, guarding to do all he has commanded us to do all the time. Not sometimes, all the time. Because you're what? You're saying in his name. So when you're using his name, do not take his name in vain. You're going to say that I'm doing it in his name? Make sure you're living up to it. All the time. It truly is a great joy to do the laws and right ruling as prescribed. Not just any kind of way. As prescribed. You know, you get these little warning on you take medicine. Take this one as prescribed. Not just take them. God. So many people today think that it is a huge burden to do what is commanded. Yet, that is so far from the truth. When we diligently observe and guard to do all he has commanded us to do, it is a great joy and a delight and not a heavy thing at all. Hallelujah. It's not. I enjoy it when it comes around. The perfect Torah of freedom. What's he call it? The perfect Torah of freedom. The world may see it as bondage. And that's what they want you to think. That's one of the tactics of the enemy. They want you to think that it's bondage. But it's not. And maybe at one time we might have thought that. Because if we would have been out there, we'd have said the same thing. Oh man, why are they doing that? Here you are today because he's seeing you, Israel. He had your heart. He knew you. Not because you were great. He knew you. Seen it. He sees not as a man sees. The perfect Torah of freedom is like a mirror for us. And in looking intently into it, we are able to see if we are in fact listening and doing what is being commanded or not. It will tell on you. You will know if you've been wearing your tzitzis or not. It'll tell on you if you've been, where you go, who you hang out with. If you're hanging out with pastor or one of the brothers, or you're hanging out with these men that I talked about last night. Cain and Korah. It's going to tell on you who you hang around with, your company. He'll let you know. It's what the Torah is, like a mirror. When you read it, you should be placing yourself there. When I read it, I act like I'm at Mount Sinai, speaking to me in Moses' time. And I apply it to my life today. That's what we should be doing. It's like a mirror. The perfect Torah of freedom. Yaakov, James 1:22-25, and become doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
You know what we do? Deceive ourselves.
Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. But he that look into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continue in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of work, this one shall be blessed in his doing of the Torah.
One will be blessed. Hear, guard, and do.
We guard to do all he commands in order that we may live and take possession of what Yahweh has planned for us. What he's planned? For the meek to inherit the earth. We read in the Beatitudes. We had all these banners up here. Huh? Blessed are the meek, for they what? For inherit the earth. Promise. You're not in this for nothing. You don't just wake up and say, well, I'm going to come here on Shabbat, and there's no be a reward for it. That's a reward. To hear, guard, and do. Don't be just a hero. As we consider this root verb, asa, Strong's H6213, in terms of our needs to be doers of the word, we recognize that we can only be proper doers if we are in fact looking intently into the word. And when we see this word in the ancient pictograph script, we gain further understanding of what it is to be proper doer of the word. In the ancient pictograph script, the verb asa, Strong's H6213, looks like this. You see the ayin, the shin, and the hey. Ayin. The original pictograph for this letter is ayin and represents the idea of seeing and watching, as well as knowledge, as the eye is the window of knowledge. Sin. I said shin, but it's sin. Got to watch the little dot. I know in these two words, you got sin and shin, they're two together. The dot, depending on how you're looking at it, the dot for sin is on the left. Shin is on the right. So, but it's drawing the same, everything, but that one little dot. So that's why Yeshua said, not one jot or one tittle, not bad from the law. So that's one of them little jots. This is the letter sin/shin, which is the ancient pictograph, ancient script is pictured as look like the teeth, or some people may say it might look like an easy, you know? But it's teeth, which is two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or oppressed, chew or devour, which is what the teeth do. And also speak of the sharpened word that comes from the mouth as teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do to food. I tell you, boy. that's probably one of my favorite letters. Look at that. Hey, I can tear into some stuff every now and then. The hey, the ancient script has this letter as hey, and is pictured as a man standing with his arm raised up and out as if pointing to something, and in essence carries the meaning of behold, as in when looking at something very great. It can also have the meaning to breathe or sigh, as when looking at a great sight and having your breath taken away, so to speak. It also has the meaning of revelation, or to reveal something by pointing it out, as well as praise through the tidying up of our hands in complete awe and surrender. So when we're coming here, and you know that good song, you just want to lift your hands, just, hey, you're surrendering. It's not to be something shameful about. I mean, yeah, you know, especially when you're new at it, and you're a newborn, yeah, you get nervous. But any time you learn to do these things, you surrender. You say, Master, yeah, I'm surrendering. When looking at this word, asa, in the ancient pictograph form, we are able to further understand how critical it is for us to be doers of the word, and so perform and do that which is instructed for us to do. From this picture, we can see the meaning, looking at the word that has been revealed. So today, we need this word. Guard it. It is your life. That's what Peter said. Master, where I'm going to go? You have the word of eternal life. This is what you're guarding. And you don't give it up. You don't pull up your anchor. If you're going to drift in Him. Keep your anchor down. Don't pull it. What happens? You just start drifting. It's very hard. If you drift, if the current's moving fast enough and the wind's blowing, it's very, your chance of getting that anchor back down is very hard. So, I got my 10-minute sign came up. But we're going to stop right here. And I hope this has blessed you, because when we leave here, midweek, you got your, don't wait till Wednesday. Today, now, we need our daily bread. So, thank y'all for coming out. This has been challenging for me also. Look, I didn't go out there and speak this. I need it too. So, any prayer requests? Anybody? I just want to say I'm thankful. I'm alive here today, dwelling on the land, obeying the Torah, following the Torah, as prescribed.